As we read the book of John, we see that Jesus came in contact with a lot of people. And there was always a challenge and a transformation as he came in contact with these individuals.
Greetings. Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, a teaching ministry of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining in today as we continue with our series, Close Encounters with God in the Book of John. We are going through the Book of John and we are looking at Jesus as he encounters different people and the change that took place after they had an encounter with Jesus. Close Encounters with God. Thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that you would be blessed as you listen to the conclusion of Close Encounters with God.
Now, I want to say, I did watch part. I did watch part of it. But you know what? There was a brother, an Episcopalian bishop. This brother had the whole world watching him. He broke the gospel. I was sitting, because I was in Philadelphia. I was sitting in my hotel. I was about to shout. I said, man, I got to go talk to somebody. This brother, man, he preached the gospel. And I was like, man, you know, what event was more watched around the world than that event? Man, God is powerful. God is powerful that he got his message out. And the brother, he didn't mince any words. He talked about the love of Christ and how Christ died on the cross. It was powerful. Now, how did I get to that? Oh. It's because, you know, why was that important? Because of the lineage, right? That lineage, you know, there's a potential that Harry or his children will actually end up, you know, ruling in Israel. And so a king has to have a genealogy. A servant, hey, we don't care. Servant don't need one, right? Now, a man, because if you go back and look at Israel, the 12 tribes, they all trace their genealogy. So in Matthew, there was a genealogy. In Luke, there was a genealogy. In John, there's no genealogy. Why? Because God don't have one. God don't have a genealogy, right? And so we look at, you know, what was John's emphasis? It was on God. What are key words? Key words in the book of Matthew, the word kingdom is used over 60 times in the book of Matthew, over 60 times. The key verse in John is Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And that's where this idea of the servant comes from. In Luke, what is the key verse? The Son of Man is used at least 18 times in the book of Luke. And then in the Gospel of John, the phrase Son of God is used over 10 times. So why did I show you that? Because I'm trying to show that John's whole point was to present Jesus as God. And as we read his Gospels, we are reading about people who have had encounters with God. Now, again, the Gospel of John is all about up-close encounters with God. This was interesting as I was doing some studying and looking at the belief of Jesus being God, the belief of Jesus being a God. And you'll notice that the black part of the circle means that, you know, these individuals see Jesus as God. They said that we believe that Jesus is God. The grayer part, he was only a religious or a spiritual leader, and then the white part represents, you know, a group that wasn't sure. So if you look at all adults, 56% of all adults believed that Jesus was God, all right? But now when you start moving by generation, you'll see that the millennials, it's less than 50% that actually believe that Jesus is God. Generation Xers, 55%, the boomers, 58%, and the elders 62%. So what's that telling us? That's telling us that the further we move as a society, the less we believe that Jesus is God of very God. So that's why that makes this study that we're getting ready to do important, because there's a growing number of people that don't even believe that Jesus is God. We can see the word on the street, right? That Jesus is not God. So when you think about the word on the street and that Jesus is not God, it becomes even more critical when the word in the church is that Jesus is not God. And if you talk to some people, I mean, that are in the church, that grew up in the church, you know, they are beginning to question whether Jesus is God. And if we, as the followers of Christ, the believers in Christ, if we just believe he was a prophet, or if we just believe he was a good man or a good teacher, then, you know, because, you know, some people, that's why when people say they believe in Jesus, you got to listen to them real close, because I need to understand what Jesus you're talking about. Because Jesus to certain people is not the same concept. So just because somebody gets up and talks about Jesus and say that they are a follower of Jesus, you listen to them very closely. Because if they come short of saying that Jesus is God of very God, then they got some issues theologically. And so we see that there's a growing problem in our society. That, you know, you notice that the older people, you know, have a tendency to gravitate more toward the belief that Jesus is God. But when we move through the generational issues, that I guess either it's not that important as time goes on, or, you know, that, again, there's a lot of people that are receiving information on the college campus. And that's why we need to pray for the young people that are going to the college campuses, that they continue to maintain their faith and their hold and their grip on the word of God and on the truths of the word. Because there are individuals there that want to shake them to their very core. They want to shake the belief of all that they've learned growing up. They want to shake their belief in the fact that Jesus is God. And so maybe that's the reason why, you know, we're seeing this drifting away. So this series that we're doing, you know, we're going to talk about how real Jesus is. You know, we sing the song, "Real, Real, Jesus is real to me." And not only is he real to me, but he's also God of very God. When we look at the book of John, in the Gospel of John, we see the I ams. There are the I ams. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Jesus gives the I ams in John. Now you say, well, what's important about the I ams? Because if we go back to the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, when Moses went to God at the burning bush, and Moses said, well, you know what? I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to try to lead these people out of Egyptian bondage. When I go to them, who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them, I am sent you. What? I am. I am what? I am whatever you need. Whatever they need. I am. I am it. You know, I am he that was, that is, and he that shall be. I am. I am the eternal one. I am the self-existent one. I am the sovereign one. You tell them that I am sent you. And so Jesus comes in the New Testament, and he gets into a discussion in John chapter 8 with the religious leaders of the day. And they're bragging about the fact that Abraham is their father. And Jesus said, oh, before Abraham was, I am. You see why they wanted to kill the man? You know, you remember that one time they went after Jesus, and they was pushing him, and they was getting ready to throw him over a cliff. Right? He got to the precipice, and they were getting ready to throw him over a cliff. And the Bible said that he just turned around and walked through them. And they didn't even know where he was at. Why did they want to kill him? They wanted to kill him because he was proclaiming that he was God. And not only did Jesus proclaim that he was God, you know, it's one thing to run your mouth, right? You know, we all ran into people when we were growing up that liked to talk. And you know, sometimes guys like to sell, I call them wolf tickets, and talk a good game because they knew they had a brother, a big brother that could back them up, right? Right? They knew they had somebody so they could run their mouth, right? So you can run your mouth. And Jesus could do all this talking about I'm God, right? That you know, I am the Messiah. I am the eternal one. I am the bread of life. I am. He could have ran his mouth about all that, right? But guess what? Jesus had a big brother to back him up. And his big brother was the miracles that he did, right? And we're going to look at that in the Gospel of John, is that these miracles that he did. So I just want to close the message out this morning by just talking about a few individuals who had a close encounter with God. And to show, because I know that as I'm sharing this message, that some of you are sitting there saying, what in the world is he talking about? Encounter with God. You know, I have a lot of young people that come up and ask me questions, and one of the questions that I'm often asked by young people is, Pastor, you said that, you know, you talk to God. You know, I have no concept of that. It's foreign to me. It's, you know, I have no idea what you're talking about when you say that you're talking to God. What does that mean? And so, I realize that, you know, even as I go through this message, that there has to be a practicality in it so that people can see that a relationship with God is tangible, that a relationship with God is intimate, that a relationship with God is personal, but more than anything else, that a relationship with God is possible. And we see in the Gospel of John people who had close encounters with God. Let's look at, real quick, Nathanael. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 in verse 45. It says, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, hey, man, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Braddock? Can any good thing come out of Homewood? Right? And I like Philip. You know, if you ask, can any good thing come out of Braddock? Somebody asks you, just say, come to Bethany and see. No, I'm just kidding. Right? Jesus. Jesus said, see, the reason I said that, because I know when I say stuff like that, it sticks better. Right. Philip said, come and see. You know, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile or no deceit. Nathanael said unto him, how knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, thou art the Son of God, and thou art the King of Israel. That Nathanael met a Jesus who knew all about him. Have you met that Jesus today? Have you met that Jesus that saw you when you were under the fig tree before you even knew about him? Have you met that Jesus when in the lonely hours of the night when there's nobody else around and you are left there with your thoughts? And I often ask the question, when unsaved people that don't have a relationship with God, when they wake up in the night with all their problems, with all their tribulations, with all their trials, who do they cry out to? Thank God I have a Jesus who knows all about me. Nathanael, before you even met me, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I knew all about you. That's the kind of God that I want to interact with. I want to interact with a God who knows me, who knows my ups, who knows my downs, who knows my weaknesses, who knows what makes me laugh, who knows what makes me cry. That's the Jesus that knows us. That's the Jesus that we want to encounter. Peter found that he is a God who has the words of eternal life. Just think back to the people on the video. Just think back. I think there was a guy on there that said he believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and they kept him on there for about 3 seconds, right? And all the rest of them had no concept of who Jesus is. John chapter 6, and I like John chapter 6 because Jesus' message started getting hard. Jesus started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And when he started talking that, what he basically was saying, I'm getting ready to go to the cross. And unless, you know, you are willing to give your life up, that you can't be my disciple. And the message got hard. As long as Jesus was making fish sandwiches, the people was with him. But look what it said in John 6:66. When he started talking about making communion sandwiches, there was a different thought. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Remember that. John 6:66. I don't know why that sticks in my mind. Maybe because of Revelation 12. All right. John 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go? Are you going to? I mean, can you imagine? Jesus is standing there. The message is getting hard. He's just watching people leaving left and right. I mean, they're just leaving in masses. And then, you know, it's kind of like the 12 are like the only ones left. And Jesus said, are you going too? Are you going also? And notice, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. He had an encounter with God. This encounter with God gripped his life. And when everybody else was leaving and Jesus asked him, was he going to leave? He said, Where are we going to go? Only you have the words of eternal life. The bartender don't have the words of eternal life. Oprah don't have the words of eternal life. Dr. Phil don't have the words of eternal life. There's only one person that has the words of eternal life. And Peter recognized that it was God, a very God, that he had the words of eternal life. And he said, where are we going to go? Do you recognize, have you recognized the fact that Jesus has the words of eternal life? If you do, when was the last time you read his book? If you do, when was the last time you sat in a study where you were taught the word of God? If you believe that Jesus has the words of eternal life. Martha, let me hit this, these last two and I'm through. Martha, that's the preacher way of saying, hang on, I still got about 20 minutes left, you know? I can see you fading, right? I can see you fading. So I'm down to my last 2 points. So then you kind of perk up and tune back in, right? All right. Martha, John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, verse 21. Their brother had died. They sent message to Jesus that their brother was dying. And then in chapter 21, then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, you're looking at the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? And she saith unto him, he asked her, do you believe this? She said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Martha saw Jesus as the one who could not only give spiritual life, but the one who was able to raise the dead and give physical life again. I'm talking about encounters with God. Encounters with God. Everyday encounters with God. We live our life every day, and we should be encounter God at some level every day of our life. Nathaniel, Peter, Martha, these are just simple encounters with the Master. And then the last one is Thomas. And that's found in John chapter 20, verse 24. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples, but Thomas was not there. But the second time, but Thomas, one of the disciples called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. But the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, the disciples were inside, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being opened, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach here thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach my hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. He had an interaction with the living God. And as I close this morning, I just want to say that when we read the book of John and we go through the gospel of John, if you go to that next slide, when we go through the gospel of John, we see these interactions that Jesus had with people throughout the book, that they were changed. Nicodemus, changed. He was one of the ones that came and got Jesus' body after he was crucified. The woman at the well, changed. The impotent man, changed. The blind man, changed. Lazarus, changed. Put your name down there. Put your name down there. Have you encountered God? Have you had an interaction, an encounter with God? I like that song, a change has come over me. He changed my life and now I'm free. He washed away all my sins and made me whole. He washed me as white as snow. He changed my life complete and now I sit at his feet to do what must be done. I'll work and work until he comes. A wonderful change has come over me. You can't come in contact, you can't encounter the living God, and not him.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Introduction to Deity. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Close Encounters with God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Close Encounters with God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Close Encounters with God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view the many other teachings that we have listed there. God has blessed me to be able to author over 10 books. For more information about these resources or how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to join us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. Now, on behalf of myself and our volunteer staff, I want to remind you that you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.